Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host, Judy Davis, my partner in crime in creating Mighty Parenting for everybody and helping me share these great guests with you. We are having so much fun doing Mighty Parenting, and we appreciate you guys. We appreciate the support and encouragement that you give us, whether you are sharing the show with others, letting them know where they can, you know, download it, get the show notes on mightyparenting.com, wherever you listen to the show. For people who are giving us support through notes and comments, through participating in the Facebook group, and through supporting us financially, we appreciate all of that. If you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about, go to mightyparenting.com, pop around a little bit, see what we have there to support you, as well as going to mightyparenting.com support, where you'll see both some things we have for you and how you can help support us. But we've been doing this for a while now, and this show actually marks 1 year since we started the Mighty Parenting podcast. And I cannot believe that it's been a year already. That absolutely blows my mind.
I know. I remember back when we originally were thinking of what to do to get in front of and kind of enhance everything that we were doing over on the Dacium side of things. And I resisted. If you've listened to our podcast this year, you have probably heard the story about how I came to podcasting kicking and screaming because Sandy knew what a great avenue this would be to get information to parents of teens and young adults. And I was not about it. And I'm sitting here going, it's been a year. I just can't even believe that milestone.
And you're not kicking and screaming anymore. And it always cracked me up because you're a public speaker. I mean, this is what you do. This is what people love about you and you love doing. It's this great audience connection of, Judy, you're amazing. And oh, you got such a great audience. And everybody learns so much. And I couldn't get you to speak over a microphone into a computer.
I know. It's interesting because while so similar, it's so different also.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it was just a lot more intimidating, but I am glad that I jumped to the hurdle and have done this. And it's kind of interesting how we landed. We were discussing how do we celebrate a 1 year anniversary, because that's a huge milestone in podcasting. We've done, you know, 50 some episodes and lots of different guests and lots of different topics. And we were just kind of hashing it all out, and we went, what is the thing that we want to discuss? And we played around with a lot of different options, and we landed on what we're going to talk about today. And that is about enjoying, maximizing, and leveraging the power of special moments and milestones.
Yes, because there are so many of them, really, that we let slide by, and some we let slide by, and others that we're celebrating, or we're celebrating in a way that really kind of makes no sense, because we're trying to accomplish something else, or because we think we should. And so I think this discussion is, I think it's important. And I know it's certainly a hot button issue. I hear parents all the time making little snide comments about like participation trophies. Everybody's going to get an award because they showed up. Or we have graduation every year all the way through elementary school or whatever. It's like, you didn't graduate third grade. You move from third grade to fourth grade, you know, and I'll hear those comments from people. And I get it. And I have definitely, Judy, as you know, I have definitely some issues with the over-recognition for things that aren't a thing, as well as the flip side of that, as I mentioned before, the non or under-recognizing our kids when they really do need it. But let's kind of get into that a little bit. Is the reason that I personally am not a big fan of teams and groups and everybody handing out just participation trophies is twofold. One is that it creates entitlement in our kids. Like, the only thing I have to do is exist. I don't have to put in effort. I don't have to set goals or try to meet goals. I don't have to support the other people in my team or in my group. I don't even have to fully show up to this thing. All I have to do is physically be here. And that's an issue when we teach our kids that that's all it takes in life is to physically be present.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out the damage that that does. I believe that activities and celebrations and milestones all help to enrich and empower our kids, and it directly impacts their self-esteem. And when we just give a participation trophy or the entitlement thing like you're talking about, we are really doing a disservice to our children. We are saying that we're not recognizing, I guess is a better way to put it, we're not recognizing their unique skills and talents. When we celebrate every single thing they do just for participating, we miss the opportunity to focus in on what makes them unique and what skills that they have that set them apart from other people. And as a culture, we go, everybody has to feel good about everything they do. And the reality is, we are all good at different things, and we have different strengths, and we have different skill sets, innate skill sets that are unique to us as an individual. And when we just blanket recognize, we miss the opportunity to highlight the thing that makes our kids stand out. And that's the part that I can't stand about that entitlement thing.
Well, that's the flip side of it, right? Because I started out and I said there are two sides, and you explained it so much better than I was going to. One side is they can end up with an entitlement attitude of, this is all I need to do. And if they do more, if they do anything, suddenly that real low bar is considered amazing. You know, like, I remember as my kids were growing up, people would comment on something they would do or just the polite way they would greet another person. And while I appreciated that people took the time to share with me that, you know, they appreciated my kids being polite or something, part of me, there were alarm bells ringing going, this is considered exceptional behavior, you know, so there's that side of it. But that was the flip side, Judy, that you said. And that was that when everybody gets a trophy for participation, then when our kids really do show up, put in serious effort, and for some kids, just the, being physically present is serious effort. And I get that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, about what should be recognized. But when they put in a lot of work, then the recognition that they get for that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Because it's the same as what everybody else got who did nothing.
Mm-hmm. We send mixed messages. When we treat every milestone, every celebration, every anniversary, everything with the same intensity, we're missing out on exactly what you're saying, Sandy. We're missing out on the opportunities to help our kids understand and learn when they're making the extra effort. I think our kids don't know how to gauge their effort levels anymore. You know, they're used to, if they get a trophy for just showing up, they think that that's all they have to do to succeed. And then when they get to a challenging situation and they just show up and they don't get recognized, then all of a sudden it's the self-deprecating, I'm horrible, I have nothing, I'm awful. Mm-hmm. And we started that whole thought process way before they hit their teen years. And that's why it's so important to really look at milestones and choose as a family, what are the things that you're going to recognize as above and beyond? And what is your baseline? What is it, the things that are just about being part of being a Davis, you know, or a Sandy Fowler? You know, what are the things that as a family, these are non-negotiables and these are just the basis of who we are. We make a commitment, we show up. There's nothing extra recognition about that. That's just what's expected in our family. We treat people with respect. We do, you know, whatever it is. And when your kid goes above and beyond that basis, that's when you recognize and celebrate that milestone.
So we've already turned up a whole lot. And I have a few notes of things that, in addition to that, I still want to talk about. But I also want to take a little bit of this and tease it apart a little bit more.
Okay.
So we have entitlement. We have this flip side of missed opportunities. And that brought up for me a third piece to that, and that is that all of this, all of our conversations so far has been focused on what's happening externally. And as we get into the conversation deeper, I want to also talk about the internal side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our kids are learning, that's the other thing that happens with getting awards and presentations and certificates and those kinds of things. Too many opportunities for that type of thing is, I don't think they learn when to just feel good about themselves from the inside. Not to do something because they're going to get an award, not to do it because they're going to get a pat on the back or a certificate or a trophy or anything else, but just because it feels good. And I feel like that's kind of tying into what you were talking about, Judy, with just instilling in our kids, like, what's, you know, part of that is what's just being us. And teaching them that that will let them feel good. I'm not sure if I'm even making that my idea clear. There kind of needs to be this base of, what do I, as a person, as a human being, expect of myself?
Mm-hmm.
And well, how does that feel?
Right. And I think that as parents, where we're missing the boat is that we, for some reason, we have transitioned to this place where we expect the outside world to give recognition to our kids. We aren't teaching them how to self-recognize. We're not teaching them, just like we've talked in other shows, we're not teaching them self-care. This goes right in with self-care. Being able to look in the mirror and say, I am really good at XYZ. We don't give our kids the tools they need to be able to look in their reflection and go, I like what I see. And all of that comes with, I think, exactly what you're saying. It's this, how do we teach our kids to take pleasure and feel good about going above and beyond when we're looking to the outside world to tell them that?
So, you know me, I'm in logistics, like, okay, how do I do that? And the thought that came to me was kind of actually pulling from a lot of the other lessons we've learned through the last year in our show, you know, between us talking and our experts, is so when there is an award ceremony or there's recognition, or they didn't get recognition for something when maybe they wanted it. So, and as parents, I think what's kind of taught in our culture is to, for us to give our kids the recognition, to pat them on the back, tell them we're proud of them. And I'm not saying don't do that. Do not get me wrong. Our kids need to know we love them, that we're proud of them. They need to know those things. But I'm seeing a path here where we can go, you know, swim team awards or academic honors are coming up. How do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about your performance this year? How did that feel for you?
Mm-hmm. And then after, if they get an award or don't get an award, when you got that award or when you didn't, how did that make you feel? You know, really dig in, take that moment before, like you said, and after, to go, what did it feel like? Because I know when I, thinking back to my high school days, I received an award from the Women's Society of Science and Engineering or something like that. And I remember I was recognized for my outstanding whatever in math and science. And I can remember getting that award going, huh, that's funny because I really am not that good at that. That award meant nothing to me, and everyone made this big deal because I got this award. And really and truly, I didn't put my best effort forward in either of those classes. I didn't care about math and science. I didn't any of those things. And if someone would have said to me, Judy, how did it feel to get that award? I would have said, stupid, because there's other people that actually worked really hard to get something recognition. But mm-hmm. No one asked me. They just assumed that I was so excited and I had worked so hard. And it was just like, yeah. And I can remember looking and feeling like a fraud because I got that award. But no one asked me. They took me out to dinner and we celebrated, and it was this milestone of Judy is this math and science wizard, whatever. And it meant nothing to me.
That, I have so many thoughts turning around there. I'm trying to sort through them quickly because there's, you know, my experience going through grade school, high school, my experience going through college, and then my experience in our University of Entrepreneurship that you and I have said we're still in. Don't know if we'll ever graduate from there. But it is very telling to me about our society more so than our kids. When you talk about the award that way, because again, like we said, or you said actually, Judy, you know, as parents, we have become reliant on society to tell our kids, you know, when they're good and what they should feel good about. And you're right, that isn't something new. That's something that's been going on since we were kids. And that's part of, you know, going into school, you're talking about honor roll or letterman jackets or things like that. And I'm not saying those are bad. So please do not send me email telling me, oh my gosh, you know, you're totally wrong. This is bad. And you can feel that I'm wrong about whatever too. That's fair. I mean, Judy and I don't agree on all this stuff either. But that idea of looking outside for recognition. And the reason that it's striking me is that when you talked about it, when you talked about school, I'm someone who by the books and on paper did really well in school. Phenomenally, exceptionally well, blah, blah, blah. But I was just playing the game. I wasn't in there learning it because I wanted to know or it was interesting or there was some intrinsic curiosity. I was playing the game to get those letters on a piece of paper so that everybody else would be happy. But as opposed to our school of entrepreneur, you know, our university of entrepreneurship, where we're learning because we need to survive or because we want to. And I know working with you, you know, something will light a fire under you or me. And the other one will be like, okay, I could care less, but you go, girl, you go, you dig into that. And there's a great feeling for me of just figuring out a freaking software program, you know?
Well, and I think that, you know, taking it back to our kids, and I think that these examples are just showcasing the importance of choosing your battles when you are celebrating milestones, because, and the importance of being in communication and in touch with where your child is at and what are the things that are a struggle for them. What are the things that are simple for them? Because our kids see through all of that hoopla. They know that when you're getting recognition for grades, they know if they just copied from Susie Q on the final. And we are sitting there celebrating without understanding and challenging them to help us understand how they went above and beyond. And I think as parents, that, especially in those teen years, we are moving over to the passenger seat, you know, and as a passenger, I don't have control, but what I can do is point out the things they're doing right and the things that I could see improvement for. And I think that when it comes to celebrating their accomplishments, we need to let them take the driver's seat.
And what if, oh, sorry.
Yep, no, go on.
And what if we go back to the beginning of a year or a school year, whatever you want to use as your fresh start, and ask them, so what are your goals for this year? What are you focusing on? What's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
And if we put time and effort into supporting that, because I had not had this thought before, that the big celebrations for milestones, I think they can come from a couple of things. One is our priorities and goals and ambitions for our child's life. And the other is society's recognition. A little pat on the back. Mom and dad, your kid's so amazing. You're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And we thus also try to pat our kid on the back. Oh, you're doing such a good job. But like you said, are we focusing on the things that are important to them or the areas where they want to work and have been working hard? Or are we focusing on society telling them that they've made it and they've gotten to where they want to go? Because society standards aren't necessarily the ones for success. Again, being in that world of entrepreneurship, you learn that quickly, is many of the most successful entrepreneurs throughout the first, well, depending how old they are, the first 20 years of their life, 25 years of their life, did not meet those goals. They flunked out of school. They got terrible grades. They struggled with the quote unquote normal things. Because their gifts, their talents, their skills don't apply to that.
But what they did differently, and this is, I think, is like lightning bolt moment, put up a flare and say, pay attention. What they learned, the skills that person learned, was self-taught. It was self-recognition. They don't take anyone else's definition of accomplishment or milestone or celebration. They create what they believe is the thing. And then they create their own milestones and points of accomplishment. And when they reach those, they allow themselves to feel good about it. They don't look to external recognition. They don't care what other people think. They don't care what the naysayers say. They have learned to self-recognize a job well done. And that's all the motivation they need to continue to achieve their goals and feel good about what they're doing. When we look to outside recognition or a trophy that means nothing to us, we get very complacent and go, oh, everyone else sees that I'm doing a good job. I can just eat my bonbons and watch Netflix and the world will still think I'm cool.
Or we don't, or it makes it that much harder for our kids just to find their own passion.
Right.
Because if you're floating through whatever and it's just, yeah, you're doing great, that's not living. I'm not saying everybody has to have a major passion, you know, live this major mm-hmm. passion. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that everybody deserves to have happiness. And in my world, my definition is I work with people that can look many different ways. But one way that it usually does not look is letting other people determine the course of your life.
Exactly.
And when we're just going by what other people tell us is good enough and, you know, what we should do and where we should go, that works. So I'm sorry, I feel like I've taken us off track here. So let's go back. And, you know, you were talking about what entrepreneurs, most successful entrepreneurs have done, which I think is not just entrepreneurs. I think that translates into a lot of other people and just finding happiness. I think that this translates to finding, you don't care what naysayers say about what you're doing and how you're living your life. You don't look to external circumstances, people, whatever, for recognition of an accomplishment of a job well done. You don't take other people's definitions of a milestone or accomplishment. I think that those are some of those keys to happiness. So as parents, what I'm wondering now is, all right, so we have teenagers or tweens or 20-somethings, and we're listening and we're thinking through this and we're going, okay, yeah, I get it. And, you know, to whatever degree I've fallen into this trap, this is what we grew up with. It's certainly a strong part of our culture now. So what can I change at this point? Because it is different if you're starting with a toddler. You know, mm-hmm. you can focus a little differently than when you already have someone who is, you know, 10 to 30. It is very different to work with them. In fact, it's very different 15 to 30, even then from, you know, like 10 to 15. We still have much more influence, you know, before you get into the full-on high school and college years. So where are we going to go with this? If we been looking at it and we're going, okay, yeah, I see that. I see that our family's been influenced too much through this. I see that maybe my kid doesn't feel good about themselves because they aren't fitting into what's considered a success in the norms. I have a friend whose son had struggled with school due to some, you know, wiring differences, dysgraphia, things like that. And he is super self-motivated. He loves boats. We live on the water here. And he went down to the marina and just started volunteering, helping guys out with their boats and stuff. When he was old enough that they could actually pay him legally, he started getting jobs for himself down there, like creating them out of thin air. And I loved that the mom did everything she could to just quietly stand behind him and support him. She wasn't telling him, oh yes, go do this, that's amazing, and you could do this, and you could do it. She was just quietly standing behind him and supporting him. And without, you know, with that, now he has that piece of his life that he feels really good about, and that makes it easier to go, I don't care about school. So whether our kids are, you know, they're doing great, but we're afraid that they're falling into other, you know, to that mediocrity thing because they didn't really have to work at doing great, or, you know, a small amount of work isn't great, or maybe they don't fit into that and they're feeling bad about themselves because they can't get the good grades and make the teams and all of those things. How does that play into our milestone things?
Well, I think what it all boils down to is, what is the conversation you're having with your kid? You know, as parents, our goal is to point out and recognize the things that they're doing right. And we tend to take the lead from outside of us as parents. So instead of taking the lead from school and grades and things like that, take it from within your family. You see what your kid's doing, ask the question, what is important to you? And then when they do something that's important to them, recognize that. Because the other stuff doesn't matter. It'll just, you know, water off a duck's back. The kids take it from them. Let them lead you. When they're passionate about something, we know. I mean, I think back to when my kids were little and they would see a bug and all of a sudden they'd start asking questions and they'd want to watch the National Geographic about it or go to the library and get a book about it. You see kids with dinosaurs, they go crazy about it. All of that stuff. Okay, what is it about that subject that intrigues you? And then when they master it, that's when you take them out for ice cream, not when they get an A.
Mm-hmm.
Find out from them what makes them feel like they have worked really hard. Let and recognize when they feel good about themselves.
Dude, I want to interrupt you here for a second, because I don't necessarily agree with, and we may just disagree on this, I'm not comfortable setting up my standard as being you had to work hard. Because our most innate skills, the things we are best at, well, yes, they require practice, they require honing, but it doesn't always feel like we worked really hard. And I don't necessarily think that success has to be because they worked hard. I think they have other definitions of success.
And when I say worked hard, I mean that they were focused and intentional. Not necessarily like we would say blood, sweat, and tears to make something happen, but I'm saying they had an interest, they pursued it, and they completed whatever that interest was. That process is what I'm talking about.
So maybe a question like, what makes you feel like you succeeded?
Yes, that would work. If you don't, you know, without getting caught up in the, you know, did you work hard or whatever? What is it about that process that made you feel good about what you did?
Well, and it can be working hard, because sometimes they're not going to meet the goal. You know, maybe you're, because again, too, yes, this is awesome. And I love this idea for things our kids are passionate about. And we also know that as adults, sometimes we have to work at stuff we're not passionate about.
Right.
So I think it's also appropriate, which you said earlier, is, you know, recognize when there is just effort. Maybe the effort in some cases is the goal. You know, that's
true effort.
Is just that you put in some real effort. Whether you got what you wanted, whether you failed, whether you discovered that through this effort that this thing is not for you and made a conscious choice to say, this is not for me, this is not good for me, and therefore I'm not pursuing this anymore. I mean, all of those things are acceptable, but it's this, I like this idea of what makes you feel like you succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody's definition of hard work is different. Everyone's definition about overcoming an obstacle is different. Something that's hard for me might be really easy for you. And I compare. So without exception, anything that we've talked about today, it all comes back to teaching our kids to have the ability to self-assess.
Oh, and I like that.
when they self-assess and they feel good about what they did, recognizing those milestones. Because that's what matters. It's not the grade. It's not the hard work. It's not the laziness. It's what is it that they feel from within that they did well? And we need to nurture that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. So one of my girls, I would love to say encouraged, and I know that I pushed. They were moving out of homeschooling into a school system in a place where we were also new to the area. And my experience had been that cross country was just a good place to meet some people. Practice starts before school starts, so you would actually meet people before school starts, all this kind of thing. And so she did it. She joined the team and she was going to the practices and stuff. And short time into this, we ended up talking about it, and it was not emotionally healthy for her. A lot of the thoughts that I had about the situation turned out to be wrong. She's not a runner. Suddenly at the high school level, she's going to go from zero to cross country. You know, this was not working out well. And so we together, you know, we talked it through. She shared her thoughts, her feelings, and she knows that in general, we believe in the concept of when you start something, you see it through. But we talked it through, went, you know, are you bailing on a commitment that you made? Are, you know, is there something you promised this team you would do that actually harms the team if you quit? And the answers to those questions were no. We went through what it was doing to her if she stayed, what it would do to her if she leaves, and actually encouraged her to quit and kind of celebrated that, sort of. Not like we had a big party kind of thing. I don't mean that. But it was just like, hey, good job. You know, you went through this. You figured it out. You made a decision. She joined a martial arts group, in theory, went once, and then it was hard to get her to go again. But this time around, we handled it a little bit differently, and she found her way back, and we celebrated that same thing, is that process. Even though one time it was about the choice was to quit, and the other time the choice was to push through the pain and the discomfort and the everything else and go, we celebrated the same thing in both cases. It was the process of figuring it out and then having the gumption to follow through on your decision.
Right. And that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about milestones, especially with teenagers, you run a balancing act. It's about finding the balance of what is truth. What is the best for your kid emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, however you want to define it. What is the best? And how can you help them feel good about who they are and the decisions they made? Because recognizing a milestone that to them was a fluff is absolutely just as bad as not recognizing something that they feel good about. So you've got to communicate and understand what is important to your kid. What are the things that make it more difficult for them to get through something? What are the things that are no-brainer, simple, easy, that if you recognize it, they're going to just wave their hand and roll their eyes and be like, Mom, shush. You know, that's no big deal. Because to them, it's no big deal. So take the lead. I think bottom line from everything that we're talking about today, take the lead from your kid. What is it that they feel good about? And then celebrate that milestone however it works in your family. Don't celebrate the things just because the coach said to celebrate it, the school said to celebrate it, church said to celebrate it. Celebrate the things that really resonate with your child. because those are the things that are going to improve their self-esteem. It's going to help them self-regulate. It's going to help them identify their strengths and weaknesses.
And I'm going to do, go on. Well, I'll just play just a little devil's advocate here, because in my world with our kids, our family, I'm also probably going to require my kids to have some celebrations, whether they think it's a celebration or not. And it would be a discussion with them that I would have of going, I totally get that to you, this might not feel like a big deal, but to the other people in your life, to the other people who love you, it is a big deal. It is a milestone. You know, to a lot of kids that graduate high school is not a big deal. And I would still, now I did talk to my kids about how they wanted to celebrate it. I didn't make my introvert invite 450 people over. My extrovert invited the whole world over. You know, that was fine. But while they were different types of celebrations, we were having something.
Agreed.
And part of that is leading into something else. You know, we've talked a lot about kind of the, I don't want to say achievement-based, because it's not necessarily achievement-based, but sort of the action-based things. But there are also milestones of just development, of growth, of becoming an adult. You know, it used to be in ancient cultures that people would have certain rituals to recognize. And in our day and age, our rituals are things like getting a driver's license, graduating high school. You know, those are the things that are happening, but there aren't per se the rituals around those things anymore. And I think those are also important milestones, important celebrations, just to be able to tell a kid you're becoming an adult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of those could actually be, you know, when you're old enough to stay home alone or things like that. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that type of milestone, Judy, and what celebrating those and how we can just let our kids know that we get you're becoming an adult and we get that you're, you know, you're growing up, you're becoming more responsible. We see that.
Well, I think it just goes down to saying those exact words. I mean, milestones don't have to, celebrations of milestones don't have to be an all-day crazy affair. A celebration can literally be, let's go out for a cup of coffee or a hot chocolate or whatever. Let's go have lunch together. And just taking that moment to recognize the growth means the world. We, again, it goes back to that whole thing of society tells us how we should celebrate. And it doesn't have to be all fireworks and confetti. It can be simple conversation that is authentic and real. And I think celebrating those milestones that you're talking about absolutely are important, because those are the things that give our kids confidence. Letting them know that we see how far they've grown. I know with my son, one of the things that has been monumental for him is over the years since he's been in recovery, you know, he's coming up on 6 years. I go, when something good happens in his life, I'm like, I hope you're taking a moment to see how far you've come. Because 2 years ago, you would have handled it like this. And today, look at how you approached it. Take a moment and celebrate that. And that's it. It's just a simple conversation, acknowledgement from someone. Our kids want our approval. Our kids want to make us proud. And celebrations and anniversaries and milestones, we are given those opportunities, whether it's an emotional milestone, adulting milestone, a graduation milestone, an accomplishment milestone. It doesn't matter what kind. If we are our authentic and give examples of the growth we see, we're giving our kids that gift. We're giving them the gift of helping them see their growth and giving them back to right when we said at the beginning, helping them look in the mirror and see how far they've come and see their accomplishments for what they are. Because to every single person, accomplishments are defined in a very personal way. And as parents, we can just point out what we see and help them learn to recognize those differences and those changes and those milestones within themselves, because that's where the magic happens. When you can look and say, I did this and I feel really good about what I did and I'm proud of myself, you win. That's the parenting goal. That's the touchdown, you know?
No, I like that. So one of my questions I had jotted down here was, okay, so milestones. We want to know what and why to celebrate and when and how. And so I think I'm kind of boiling this down to, the what and why to celebrate is, and I didn't get your whole list, but I loved it. There are these different milestones. They're emotional, adulting, achievement oriented milestones. So basically what I'm thinking is what and why is when somebody, and yes, when the kid feels good, but sometimes, like I said, it might be that those of us who love the kid feel good about it and we can talk to them and say, hey, can you put up with doing this? So the what and why is somebody feels good about something that's happened, something they've done, felt, achieved, whatever. And then the when and the how is everything from, the hug or the pat on the back with the big smile and the good job up through a big, huge stinking party. But the key there is to look at your kid, your family, and celebrate it in a way that's meaningful and makes sense to you, and to not let society determine how we have to celebrate and when we have to celebrate.
Yep, exactly. I do.
Oh, boiled that right down, didn't we?
Yes, you did. That you did.
But no, so many ideas have been going through my head. And as we're talking about it, I'm like, yes, yes. But at the same time, I'm going, but how do I do this? Like, how does this actually fit into my day-to-day life?
Mm-hmm. And I think you nailed it. I think it's such a complicated concept, but it's really so simple. It's not easy, but it's simple.
It's like, yeah.
Peel away the layers, and which is really interesting because going full circle, when we came up with just to talk about this, it's because we wanted to take a moment and celebrate the podcast, mm-hmm. and what we're doing and how it's impacted our lives. And the fact that I'm going to speak for myself, but I'm really proud of what we've created to help families. I wish I had some of these tips when my kids were going and growing through the teen years.
And, oh yeah.
So taking a moment as a person and just saying, we've created something that's really making a difference. That to me is a milestone worth celebrating. And that's why I wanted, that's how we got to this topic. But I didn't realize until you were just doing your summary, this is just a reminder for us as the hosts and for you as parents that have been longtime listeners, we've made this commitment and we need to take pride in that we're changing the face of parenting. We're getting ahead of these problems. And are we perfect? No. But you know what? We're working at it and we're doing better every day. And that is the thing to celebrate. The moving forward and getting out of our limiting beliefs and our own personal habits that are holding our kids back and our expectations. We've come a long way, not only as hosts, but as a community. We're looking at parenting our teenagers and young adults in a whole different way. And that's the thing that we can celebrate on our podcast.
That in the parent community that's forming from this to support each other in doing it. So we want to thank you so much for being part of this, because Mighty Parenting is you guys. It's about you. And without you, there isn't a Mighty Parenting community. So thank you so much for joining us, whether you came in this week or over the past year. We look forward to spending more time with you, getting to know you. And remember that there is more at mightyparenting.com. So pop on over, check that out, find out what else there is for you there, and stay in touch with us. Email, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, wherever. Love to hear from you guys. Remember that you are a mighty parent.